that doesn't mean that instead of Hare Krishna, from now on we'll start chanting Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna. No. Sometimes people do that, sometimes, but that's not right. Prabhupada said Mahamantra should be chanted just the way it is. But we know that this Hare is indicating Srimati Radharani, who is Hara. And in vocative, vocative means when you address somebody, call out to somebody, then it is Hare. Hara is Hare, Radha is Radhe, Sita is Sita. So, so let's just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra at the beginning of the class. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Hare.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Dishutari Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Jai Shrita Devi's Appearance Day Celebration Ki Jai. Jai Shita Navami Mahotsav Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. So today is Sita Devi's Appearance Day. Instead of calling it a birthday, we call it an appearance day. Why? Because she appeared, she didn't take birth. We take birth. We take birth. Birth means accepting a material body. The spirit soul's acceptance of a material body. But that is not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal consorts. The Lord and His eternal consort and His eternal associates do not take a material body. They come with their self-same spiritual body to this material world. Krishna's form, just as Krishna's form is always Satchidananda Vigraha, Krishna's consorts and Krishna's associates' bodies are also Satchidananda Vigraha. They are spiritual bodies made of eternity knowledge and bliss. And Krishna comes to this material nature. Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. Krishna manifests himself in various incarnations. Incarnations means Krishna's expansions in this material nature. In Sanskrit, the word is avatar. The word avatar comes from the Sanskrit word avataran. Avataran means descend. From that world, Krishna comes down to this world. Ascension is going up and descension is going down. He came from the spiritual world down to this material nature. Therefore it is avatar, avataran, Krishna avatar. Krishna descended. And Krishna comes with his associates. Krishna and Krishna's associates are inseparable. The Lord is the energetic and his consorts are the energy. Now energy and energetic are generally together. So the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Energetic, and His energy are manifest in generally in three aspects, in three ways. They are Sandhini, Sambit, and Ladini. Sandhini aspect is the existence aspect. Sambit is the conscious aspect, knowledge aspect. And Ladini is the pleasure aspect. The personification of that pleasure potency of the Lord is Srimati Radharani. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is not an avatar. Krishna is an avatari. Krishna is not an incarnation, but Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. Just as in Bhagavatam it has been described, ete changsha kala pungsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Sayam. Different incarnations have been described, 22 incarnations have been described. And then it has been said that there are many, many, innumerable incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Countless incarnations. Even the atoms of an universe can be counted, but Krishna's incarnations cannot be counted. And this is unlimited, how unlimited Krishna's incarnations are. They are classified into six different categories. They are Purushavatar, Lilavatar, Gunavatar, Manvantar Avatar, which one? Shaktavish Avatar, and Lilavatar. Yeah, these are the six different incarnations. Lord Ramchandra is Krishna's Lilavatar. So, Ramadi Murtishu, Kala Niyamena Tishtan, they are Kala, parts, or parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there is no difference. He is the one who expanded himself. Again, Krishna's expansions are of two types. One is Swamsa expansion, and the other is Vibhinnamsa expansions. Swamsa expansion, that Krishna himself expands. Same personality expands. And Vibhinnamsas are his parts and parcels, minute expansions. An example can be given in this respect. Samsa incarnations are something like, consider the sun. The same sun became 2, 4, 100, 2,000, 5,000. Same sun. With the same potency, with the same energy, with the same characteristics. He, one after another, sun is expanding. If we can analyze that, then Krishna's incarnations are like that. One sun is becoming many, retaining the entire characteristics of the sun. Whereas, the rays of the sun are the jivas or living entities. Krishna himself expands. There are Swamsa expansions. And Krishna's minute atomic particles are the jivas, and that is we are. Just as a ray can never consider itself to be the sun, similarly we can never consider ourselves to be God. We are minute, very, very insignificant. So, our expansions, we are minute, whereas Krishna is absolute. So, because we are minute, we may lose our qualities. Here, ray of the sun and the sun, qualitatively one. All the characteristics or qualities of the sun is present also in a ray, but in a minute way. So similarly, Krishna's qualities, spiritual qualities, are also present in us in a very, very tiny, atomic and minute way. But Krishna is the original source of all the energy. So this is how Krishna and Krishna's potencies have been described in the spiritual scriptures, in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures. So, Krishna is always present with his eternal consort. Who is the eternal consort? The personification of his pleasure potency. Krishna is very fond of pleasure. Krishna loves to enjoy. He is a supreme enjoyer. He is the supreme enjoyer. And who supplies all the ingredients for his enjoyment? His pleasure potency, Srimati Radha. All Krishna's enjoyment are centered around his pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. So, when Krishna expands, Radharani also expands. Say, for example, what's Krishna's first expansion? Krishna's first expansion is Balaram, yes. And in that, Radharani expands as Ananga Manjari. Krishna then expands as Vasudev. When Krishna expands as Vasudev, Krishna's pleasure potency then expands as Rukmini. Krishna expands as Ramchandra. And Krishna's pleasure potency? Sita Devi. So when Krishna comes as Ramchandra, Sita Devi comes as, Radharani, Krishna's pleasure potency comes as Sita Devi. But there is a little difference. As I mentioned, that Krishna loves to enjoy. Therefore, Krishna is Leela Purushottam. He enacts his pastimes and through his pastimes he enjoys. He is the supreme enjoyer and through his pastimes he is the he is experiencing those enjoyments. But Ramchandra is little different. Ramchandra is Marjada Purushottam. Krishna is Leela Purushottam. He simply is concerned about his Leela, pastimes. And through his pastimes, along with his devotees, he is enjoying. Through the very intimate loving exchange. An intimate loving exchange like between friends. Intimate loving exchange between father and child, mother and child. An intimate loving exchange with his devotees as lovers and beloved. So this is how Krishna is enacting his pastimes. But as Ramchandra, he is not the enjoyer. As Lord Ramchandra, he is a teacher. Marjada Purushottam. He is teaching us the principles of scriptural injunctions. He came to establish the principle of dharma. So that's what he is doing. Lord Ramchandra is teaching us through his examples. Therefore it is said that if you want to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then imitate the activities of Lord Ramchandra, not the activities of Krishna Chandra. If you try to imitate the activities of Krishna Chandra, you'll be in trouble. But Ramchandra set the perfect example how we should act. He's a prince, he's a king, and he is setting up the perfect system of social structure as a king. Therefore, there is a very common expression in India, Ram Raj. Ram Raj. That the ideal, ideal kingdom. Rajya means kingdom. Lord Ramchandra's kingdom was the ideal kingdom. And Lord Ramchandra acted in an ideal way. And there we find, along with Lord Ramchandra, Sita Devi is also acting in the most perfect way. She is the ideal woman. She is the ideal wife. So that's the difference between Sita Devi's role and the gopi's role in Vrindavan. Radharani is not an ideal wife. Radharani is an ideal devotee, the greatest devotee. For the sake of Krishna, she is prepared to sacrifice everything. But here, Sita Devi, for the sake of her husband, she is prepared to sacrifice everything. Sita Devi's appearance also has a history. In her previous life, she was a daughter of a Brahmarshi. Her name was Vedavati. She wanted to have Vishnu as her husband. So she was told by her father that if that is what you want, then you go and perform austerities. You perform austerities, and by your austerities, the Lord may become pleased and he may fulfill your desire. This is a very common practice. This used to be a very common practice in India. You know, Kalindi, the daughter of Surya Dev, she also wanted to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a husband. And she went to the bank of Jamuna and she was performing austerities. And at that time, Krishna and Arjun came there hunting. Not hunting, an excursion. Two of them were wandering around. And Krishna saw Kalindi, this lady, extremely beautiful woman, is performing austerities on the bank of the Jamuna all by herself. So she sent Arjun to find out from her what she wanted. So Arjun went and asked her, and he found out that she wanted to marry the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna said, okay. So Krishna married her. But with Sita Devi's case, there was a little difference. We must understand these are the Lord's pastimes. Through his pastimes, Lord sets a perfect example and teaches some lessons to us. That is how different pastimes are in a different way. Pastimes, again, we have to consider, what's a pastime? Pastime of the Lord is like a drama on the stage. Like today, we will see a drama. Different personalities will play different characters, enact different roles. And when you're watching the drama, what do you think? You think that's real, right? It's happening right in front of you. But after the drama, you see in the backstage, they're taking off their makeup, they're taking off their, changing their dresses, and they're becoming their real self again. So similarly, Lord's pastimes are like a drama. But they're real drama. When it happens, it appears that this is really happening. And this is how the Lord teaches us. Drama also, every drama must have a theme. And the theme must convey some message. So similarly, the Lord's pastimes also convey certain specific message to us. So here, see that, and these dramas are perfect. Lord's dramas are perfect enactment. Like, for example, one characteristic of a drama is that there must be conflict. The better the conflict, the better the drama. So that's why we find the hero, we find the heroine, and we find the villain. So villain is the one who creates the conflict. So in Ramchandra's pastimes, who is the villain? Ravana. Ravana. And see how beautifully the scene is set. Scene is being set. Vedavati wanted to marry the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedavati wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a husband. So she was performing great austerities in the Himalayas. And Ravan happened to fly in the sky, and from above he saw that this beautiful single woman in the middle of the mountain, in the valley of a mountain. So he came down and proposed to her that, what are you doing here? Come and become my wife. I am Ravana. Become my queen. And I'll make you my principal queen. And she told him that, look, in my heart I have accepted Vishnu as the supreme, as my husband. He said, who is Vishnu? Marry me, I'm better than him. But when she declined, he tried to force her. She caught her by her hair. And just because he touched her hair, she considered that her body has become polluted. And this body is no good for Vishnu anymore. So she decided to give up her body. So with her own body, due to her mystic power, she generated a fire. And in that fire, she left her body. But while leaving her body, she announced that I'll come back again and I will become the cause of your death. And as a result of that, she came again as Sita Devi. King Janak, the king of Mithila, he was preparing the field for performing sacrifice. The kings used to perform sacrifice, and they themselves used to prepare the ground with a plow. With a golden plow, he was preparing the ground. And then at the tip of the plow, one girl came up as he was digging the land. He picked up this girl and brought her up as his own daughter. And from a childhood, he could see various symptoms that this girl is not an ordinary girl. And he suspected that this girl is Lakshmi Devi. Therefore, he decided that she should not be given in marriage to any ordinary person or any human being. She should be offered to Vishnu. Now, how to recognize Vishnu? He made an arrangement that he had the bow of Lord Shiva. I won't describe much about that, because when you watch the drama, you will see the whole history about the bow will be given about that bow. It was the bow of Lord Shiva. And that bow was there in the house of Janakraj, King Janak. Lord Shiva gave this bow to Janak Raj is Janak's ancestor. And since then, this bow had been worshipped in the house of King Janak. So Janak made a condition that in order to marry Sita, one has to lift the bow and string the bow. Now, Lord Shiva's bow, who can string that bow? Who can lift that bow? Can any ordinary person lift that bow? Or can any ordinary person even touch that bow? And that is what was happening. Different people came trying to win the hands of Sita Devi, the big, powerful kings and princes. But when they tried to lift the bow, they got just thrown out. Like it seemed that the bow was so heavy that they kind of got hurt at themselves. But it was actually the potency of the bow. And nobody could lift the bow. What to speak of stringing the bow. But Vishwamitra, another great sage, he knew that Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he thought that he is the right match for this daughter of King Janak. So when he took him to his ashram from King Dasarath to kill Marichi and Subahu, two terrible demons, who was causing a lot of disturbance to the sages in the forest. And Ram, just a 16-year-old boy, killed this Marichi and killed Subahu. And just with one arrow, he struck Marichi, that terrible demon, and he was flung 8,000 miles away into the middle of the ocean. So Vishwamitra then decided to bring Ram to the palace of Janak. He didn't tell him that this is the condition for his daughter's match. Vishwamitra didn't tell. Vishwamitra told Ram that, come on the way, there is the kingdom of Janak. We'll go there and he has a very wonderful bow. The bow of Lord Shiva. And come, we'll on the way we'll stop there and have a darshan of that bow. The Kshatriyas are generally very interested in weapons. So Ramchandra became quite interested about that bow. So they went and the bow was brought. 500 people are pushing that cart. It was so heavy, this bow. On a cart with 16 wheels. And so when Ram saw that, out of curiosity, he picked it up with his left hand. And he strung the bow. And as he pulled the bow broke. It is said that the breaking of the bow created such a terrible sound that everyone there fainted, excepting King Janak, Vishwamitra, Ramchandra and Lakshman, with the sound of the breaking of that bow. And this is how Ramchandra qualified himself to win the hands of Sita Devi. In this way, Sita Devi got married Lord Ramchandra. King Dasarath came on that to arrange the wedding. Ram got married to Sita and they went back. And after some time, King Dasarath considered that now is the time to make Ram as the crown prince, as the successor to the throne. And the arrangement was being made. So then the drama begins. As I said, villain and So there is a personality who was not only crooked in her body, but she was even more crooked in her mind. That is a woman called Manthara. Dasharatha had three wives. And the youngest one was Kaikeyi. She was the most beautiful, she was extremely beautiful. And why, actually Dasharatha got married to other two wives after marrying Kaushalya, Ramchandra, the principal wife, Ramchandra's mother. And because he didn't get any son, any child, any, from the wife. The first wife, second wife, then he got third wife. And a condition was made during that marriage that her son should become the king. So since Dasharatha didn't have any more king, any more children from other, so it was considered okay, Kaikeyi's child will be the king if he gets a child from her. So when Ram's coronation was going on, Kaikeyi was reminded by Manthara. But in the Vedic culture, this is also a custom. The eldest son becomes the king. Not only the king, the inheritance actually comes to the eldest son. That's the Vedic culture. Eldest son succeeds the father's legacy. So, now when Manthara came, actually Kaikeyi was excited because Kaikeyi always thought that Ramchandra was as dear to her as her own son, Bharat and Shatrughna. So, she was very happy. And Manthara, this hunchback woman who was actually given, who came with Kaikeyi after her marriage. She was from her father's house, came to her husband's house. And Manthara gave her that idea. She chastised her. Sometimes the maidservants and servants also play the role of a superior and chastise. Like in India, I'm sure many of you have that experience, that old servant at home, you don't really treat him as a servant. The servants often are treated like a family member. And the old servants actually treat the children. Sometimes they chastise them. So Manthara came and said, what's happening? Why are you so happy? He said, don't you hear? Didn't you hear that Ram is being coronated tomorrow as the crown prince? He said, you stupid girl. Do you think it's a occasion to rejoice? Don't you realize what's going to happen when Ram becomes the king? You'll become nobody. Kaushalya will have all the importance. And you'll turn into a mere maidservant of Kaushalya. And your Bharat, he'll become a servant of Ram. And Kaikeyi said, Manthara, what are you talking about? Ram is so fond of Bharat and Bharat is so respectful to Ram. Bharat will be happy to become the servant of Ramchandra. And as far as I myself am concerned, I am happy being a servant already of my elder sister Kaushalya. But anyway, this way the conversation started and it started to become more and more serious. To cut the long story short, finally, Kaikeyi's mind changed. She vitiated Kaikeyi's mind. Then Kaikeyi questioned, but what to do? Ram is a natural successor to the throne. He's the eldest of the four brothers. He said, don't worry. Don't you remember that Dasharatha gave you two boons when he was injured while fighting with the demons on behalf of the demigods? At that time, you treated him and he was so pleased with you, he wanted to give you two boons. At that time, you didn't want to take the boons. You said, I have everything. What is there to ask for? You have given me everything. But Dasarath told you that, okay, if ever you need anything, then tell me. So this is how the drama is set. See how perfect, man, script writing. And so the drama is now set. So what does Kaikeyi want? She wanted from Dasarath, that, do you remember those two boons? With the first boon, now I want that Bharat would become the king and Ram should be sent into exile for 14 years. When Dasarath heard that from Kaikeyi, Dasarath felt that she was joking. Because, you know, he couldn't take it seriously. But when he realized that Kaikeyi was serious, he fainted. When he came back to his senses, he asked Kaikeyi, Kaikeyi, it's not true, I think I was dreaming. You could never say a thing like this to me. Kaikeyi said, no, I meant it. And so Dasarath fainted again. So this way, the whole night was spent. The next morning, Ram came to take the blessings of his father for coronation. Vasishtha was the head priest. He sent him, go take the blessings of your father. When he came to his father's palace, he found that his father was not well. So he asked Kaikeyi, what happened? Then Kaikeyi told the whole story. Then Ram said, fine. If that is what you want, it's okay. I'll go to the forest. Let Bharat become the king. So this is how Ram decided to go to the forest. When Sita Devi heard about that, Sita said, I'm going with you. Ram said, look, you never went, you never stepped out of the palace. How will you ever live in the forest? To walk there, like the place is full of thorns and pebbles and rocks. How can you walk there? And that place is so full of terrible creatures, ferocious animals, demons, rakshasas. Sita said, wherever you are, I'm going to be there. So in this way, Sita persuaded to go with Ram. Lakshman also decided to go with them. So in this way, Sita Devi followed her husband. And then, you all know what happened in the forest. Many a times they had many wonderful time. And many a times they had difficulties. But Sita Devi was always very happy that she was with her husband. And that is the ideal wife. Wherever the husband goes, she follows. These two entities cannot be separated. Although they're in two different bodies, the ideal relationship is husband and wife are one entity in two bodies. They're inseparable. So, that is the wonderful example that Sita Devi established, the ideal Vedic woman, the ideal chaste woman. So then Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravan. And for one whole year, practically almost 1 year, she was in captivity in Ravan's Lanka, Ravan's capital. Then the news came. Ramchandra, while looking, searching for Sita, he came across the monkeys headed by Sugriva and his minister, Hanuman. And with their help, they rescued Sita Devi from Lanka. Hanuman jumped 100 Jojanas, 800 miles, jumped from the southern tip of Indian subcontinent to Lanka, Sri Lanka. And he found Sita Devi there in the Asoka forest. Sita Devi could not recognize Hanuman at first. She thought that maybe Ravan came in another disguise, because Ravan had the mystic power to change his form. But Hanuman actually identified himself, finally showing Lord Ramchandra's ring. And Sita Devi recognized Hanuman as Ram's messenger. So Hanuman proposed that, look, I will carry you back to Ramchandra. Sita Devi refused for various reasons. One is, I can't touch any other man besides my husband. You are telling me that you are going to carry me, so no, I cannot go. And besides that, I do not sneak out of here like a thief. I want Ram to come, defeat Ravan and rescue me. Otherwise, if I run away from here, where is the glory of Ram in there? So this is how finally the Hanuman decided to go back and bring Ramchandra. And on the way, many things happened. Hanuman alone plundered Lanka. 3 of Ravan's army was totally devastated, along with his son, Akshay Kumar. And 7 of his minister's son. They were generals. And they came with their army. But Hanuman alone defeated them. And then Hanuman allowed captivity. Nobody could actually capture Hanuman. Indrajit, Ravan's son, he used the Brahmastra. But Hanuman, probably you all know, that when Hanuman was born, he wanted to eat up sun, thinking it was to be a red apple, red fruit. So then Indra, Surya became very afraid. He said, another Rahu is coming at a wrong time to swallow me. So he took shelter of Indra and said, please save me from this. So Indra used the thunder, Vajra, and being struck by the Vajra, Hanuman was hurt. He fell from that height and he died. And his father, Pavande, became very upset. And he withdrew the air. So when all the air is withdrawn, that means there is no air to breathe. So the whole creation was coming to a desire, coming to an end. So it was, they all approached Brahma. So Brahma came and revived Hanuman. And at that time, different demigods gave different boons. And one of the boons was, Brahma said that Brahmastra won't be effective on Hanuman. So anyway, but Hanuman allowed this Brahmastra to tie him up. And he was feigning, he was pretending as if he has been captured. Because he did that, because first of all he wanted to see Ravan, he wanted to see Ravan's strength, and he wanted to create fear in the heart of Ravan. So what a wonderful devotee Hanuman is. So finally, it was Ravan decided to burn his tail, because the monkeys take a lot of pride in their tail. And so start burning him from the tail. And with his burning tail, Hanuman started to jump from one palace to another and set the whole Lanka into fire. Lanka was made of gold, and all the gold melted, and it was a river of gold flowing through the streets. So this is how amazing was the might of Hanuman. So then finally, as you know, Ramchandra rescued Sita Devi. We have about just 1 minute left. So I'll try to cover as much as possible, and rest you will see in the drama. when Sita Devi was rescued, she was flying in the chariot, Pushpakra Viman, Pushpakrat, the flying chariot that Ravan used to have. So when they were flying over Kishkinda, the kingdom of the monkeys, Sita Devi requested Ramchandra to land there and carry all the wives of the monkeys also to Ayodhya. All the monkeys were there in the chariot. So we can see what a huge chariot it must have been. It could expand according to the need. So it became like a planet carrying all the monkey. And then Ramchandra said, fine. So they landed there, carried all the wives of the monkeys, and then they arrived in Ayodhya. So this is also another very wonderful womanly character. That they are very compassionate. They are very loving. They are very caring. Ideal women. They are not selfish and envious. Rather, they want to see that everybody else is happy. So this is one beautiful characteristic that Sita Devi displayed. You know about the Agni Pariksha. Sita Devi's chastity or purity was tested. Actually, what happened? This Agni Pariksha. When Ravan came to steal Sita Devi, Sita Devi actually took shelter of Agni Dev. And Agni Dev took Sita Devi and in place of Sita created a Maya Sita. Ravan actually carried that Maya Sita. Ravan couldn't touch Sita Devi. Sita Devi's transcendental form cannot be touched by anyone. What to speak of a demon? And then, through this Agni Pariksha, that fire thing, test, original Sita was brought back and Maya Sita went back. When Ramchandra rescued Sita, after Sita Devi was rescued, this Agni Pariksha was held. This is another aspect of this beautiful drama of Ramchandra's pastimes in Treta Yuga. Thank you all very much. All glory to Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda ki. Gaur Premanande. Thank you.